Welcome to This Explainer. Today, we're tearing down a massive paradigm shift in the world of cybercrime. You know, we've got to stop thinking about modern fraud as the work of some lone, hooded hacker typing furiously in a dark basement. That's just not reality anymore. Instead, this whole world has evolved into a highly organized, industrialized, and frankly, corporate supply chain. We're going to map out exactly how this shadowy ecosystem actually functions, and honestly, it's absolutely fascinating. So let's dive right in. We're going to kick things off with the staggering case of a guy named Ramzan Abubakarov. Now, investigators attributed over 1.9 million pounds in direct victim losses to his activities alone. A massive number, right? But the financial loss is really just the tip of the iceberg here. What truly caught the attention of financial crime experts wasn't just the money. It was the highly structured, almost corporate operating model behind that massive number.
Because this operation, it wasn't just some small, isolated breach or a quick one-off scam. When investigators finally raided Abubakarov's home in Hendon, North London, the devices they seized told a totally different story. They found compromised personal and financial information tied to more than 30,000 individuals. To put that in perspective, that is an entire town's worth of stolen identities, just neatly filed away and ready to be exploited.
And the scale gets even more terrifying when you realize a single seized database in his possession contained over 1 million UK and international mobile phone numbers. 1 million. These numbers were perfectly primed for mass targeting. You see, in this new criminal economy, scale is quite literally everything. Even if only a tiny fraction of those million people respond to a fraudulent text or a sketchy phone call, that mass targeting guarantees some incredibly lucrative return.
So, to truly grasp how this machine operates, our agenda today will cover 1. The Ramzan Abubakarov operation, 2. Why criminals choose Telegram, 3. Inside the fraud supply chain, 4. Converting stolen data into cash, 5. Catching the criminal network, and finally 6. Building resilient financial defenses.
Let's start with Section 1, the Ramzan Abubakarov operation. The sheer scope of what authorities uncovered here is perfectly captured by this idea of a complete digital supply chain. When Abubakarov was convicted and sentenced to 3 years back in February 2023, it didn't just expose a single fraudster. It exposed a fully functioning ecosystem. Think of it like software as a service, but for fraud. The phishing tools, the technical guidance, the stolen data, all of it was being packaged, advertised, and sold to other criminals exactly like legitimate commercial software. Moving right along to Section 2, Why Criminals Choose Telegram. Now, Telegram is widely used by normal businesses, media outlets, and everyday people, and for good reason. But here is the wild part. The exact same features that allow legitimate communities to broadcast to large audiences, or use usernames for privacy, or deploy bots for automation, they're being weaponized. Criminals are taking these very same functions to advertise stolen credentials to huge crowds, distribute automated phishing data using bots, and they do it all while completely hiding their real identities behind simple, untraceable usernames.
So the crucial takeaway here is this. For these criminals, a Telegram channel is no longer just a casual chat room. It's a fully functioning business storefront. In Abubakarov's case, he was using his channel to post literal marketing material, screenshots of successful frauds, victim lists, transaction evidence, all just to build trust with buyers. These channels have completely replaced the need for those obscure, highly technical dark web forums. Today, anyone with a simple web link can access a bustling criminal marketplace right out in the open.
Let's look under the hood in Section 3, Inside the Fraud Supply Chain. Before we go any further, we absolutely need to define the main product being sold here, the phishing kit. Think of this as fraud in a box. It's a ready-made, packaged collection of fake web pages and scripts. So instead of a criminal needing to actually learn complex coding to build a fake banking website from scratch, they just buy this off-the-shelf kit. And it gets crazier. The original supplier even provides software updates and IT support when the real bank changes its website layout. They've literally turned fraud into a recurring customer service relationship. This whole process creates what we call the modern fraud funnel, and it's a total masterclass in the division of labor. The person stealing your money is usually several steps removed from the person who built the tech. It goes like this. First, raw data is acquired on web services, like Abubakarov's own site. Then, a totally different criminal buys and deploys a phishing kit. Step 3, another specialist entirely uses that combined data to launch live social engineering attacks. And finally, step 4, a completely separate network of money mules launders the cash. It's an incredibly efficient multi-tiered operation.
Which brings us to Section 4, converting stolen data into cash.
Criminals obviously don't just hoard this data for fun. They monetize it through a very diverse value chain. If they have your name, your address, your phone number, and your banking details, they can execute highly credible social engineering calls. You genuinely think you're speaking to your bank because they know literally everything about you. But it goes way beyond just running up your credit card. Abacarver even advertised his involvement in exploiting rapid public support programs, like the UK's Bounce Back Loan Scheme, and filing false tax return claims. They basically use the data to extract funds from wherever the money is flowing the fastest.
So, how do the good guys win? Let's get into Section 5, Catching the Criminal Network.
Catching a sprawling network like this requires an immense amount of patience and collaboration. Following the timeline of this case, the investigation actually started way back in November 2020, when the Private Sector Cyber Defense Alliance first identified Abu Kakarov. They handed that intelligence over to the Metropolitan Police, which led to his arrest a full year later. Then, the forensic examination of his seized devices took over another year, finally culminating in his three-year sentence in early 2023. You can't just click a button and shut down a Telegram channel. You have to meticulously dismantle the human infrastructure behind it.
Breaking down the investigation really highlights how complex this puzzle is today. No single agency held the full picture. To shatter the network, police cybercrime teams had to use cryptocurrency tracing and communications data. But that had to be layered with deep, vital cooperation from banks, the Cyber Defense Alliance, and HMRC, who were tracking the financial flows. It demands an entirely interdisciplinary approach, where everyone brings their piece of the puzzle to the table. Finally, let's look at Section 6, Building Resilient Financial Defenses. We have to get this right, because the scale of the problem is just monumental. UK payment providers reported almost £1.3 billion in fraud losses during a single year. £1.3 billion. And a massive driver of that number is online authorized push payments, which are fueled entirely by the scalable criminal platforms and the exact infrastructure we've been discussing today. To fight back against a £1.3 billion problem, financial institutions have to build a unified defense stack. Fraud prevention can no longer just look at the final transaction and hope for the best. Banks must connect upstream cyber intelligence directly with their anti-money laundering teams. They need to deploy behavioral analytics to spot unusual login behaviors, like if a customer suddenly logs in from a brand new device using automated robotic navigation. And crucially, they have to constantly monitor the recipient accounts to detect those money mules cashing out the illicit funds. You have to monitor the entire chain from end to end.
Ultimately, if you take one thing away from this explainer, let it be an understanding of this major paradigm shift. A seemingly innocuous public messaging app, the exact kind of app you might use to follow the news or chat with your friends, can now function as the buzzing commercial center of a massive financial crime network. The barrier to entry for cybercrime has simply never been lower.
As we wrap up, I really want you to think about how easily a phishing kit, or worse, your own stolen identity, can now be purchased online just like off-the-shelf corporate software. The criminal supply chain is industrialized, it's efficient, and it's heavily automated. So I want to leave you with this final thought. As fraud becomes a highly organized digital marketplace, just how secure is the digital footprint you leave behind? Thanks for joining me on this explainer, and definitely keep your data safe out there.